number 32, Jesus Saves. That's the message going to be taken out from here, everywhere. Jesus Saves. And would you do this? Every time you come to the little two words, Jesus Saves, sing it in unison out loud, will you? Preach it. Don't just sing it. Preach it. Jesus Saves. Shout it to the mountaintops. Would you do that? Every time we come to it, sing the melody, Jesus Saves. It's number 32. Third stanza, would you sing above the battle strife? And it's all around the world. Sing above the battle strife. The third stanza, please. Singing above.
The engrafted word of God, which is able to make our souls wise unto salvation. For the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Brother John Parrott of New Mexico will come and bring to us the Thus Saith the Lord, and then Brother Franklin Fowler, one of our missionaries, will lead our prayer.
The basis of our commission to preach the gospel to all the nations is recorded for us in the 28th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world.
Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we come at this hour, gather together in thy name to be about thy business. We come, Heavenly Father, to thank thee for the tremendous and great blessings that thou hast given us. The blessings that we have of this freedom of worship, the freedom we have of gathering here to determine our own ways under thy leadership, the freedom that is ours in this great country to worship thee as we feel thy scripture does teach us and thy spirit doth lead us. We come to thank thee for the great material blessings that thou hast given us, and the way that we have seen in the material way our enterprises, our institutions, our buildings grow and be beautified. But, O Heavenly Father, in all this we ask that thou will make us humble, and realizing that thou hast given us much, so that we may give much to those waiting for thy word. Tonight, as we gather to think not now of ourselves, but of those around the world, help us, O Heavenly Father, to be conscious of our great responsibility, so that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Lay upon each one of our hearts our responsibility as thy children to make thee known around the world. Put upon our hearts the hungry, the starving, the suffering, and those that are lost without thee, and help each one of us to know our place in thy plan of taking thy word to all creatures, to every man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother President, may I call for a doctor, please? A doctor, please report to me on the platform. If there is a doctor in the house, report to me on the platform, if you please. Also, the chairman of the Committee on Committees, Charles Bowles of Alabama, report to me immediately.
Thank you, Brother Secretary. We come now to consideration of the American Bible Society, Brother Thomas T. Holloway, Secretary of Texas. I recognize Brother Holloway.
Brother Chairman and friends and fellow Baptists of the Southern Baptist Convention, your American Bible Society is happy to bring the report tonight in the opening part of this session, which has as its theme, Reaching Out Unto the Uttermost Parts of the Earth. For that is what we are committed to do as your partners in every part of the mission work in which Southern Baptists are engaged. First of all, will you let me present the resolution which is commonly adopted by the convention, stating the feeling and attitude of the importance of this work. Whereas this convention recognizes first that widespread distribution of the printed word of God is a basic need in mission work around the world. And second, that missionary advance calls for even greater distribution of Bibles, New Testaments, Gospels, and other individual books of the Bible. And whereas we recognize that the American Bible Society renders an essential worldwide missionary service through translating and publishing the scriptures without note or comment, and through distributing them without profit and usually below cost. And whereas we recognize that the American Bible Society is rendering an additional, special service through providing without charge to the chaplains scriptures for distribution to the men and women of the armed forces and to patients in veterans' hospitals. Therefore, be it resolved that we fraternally urge all our churches and our people
to make worthy contributions to the work of the American Bible Society in order to provide the scriptures needed for the missionary advance to which we are committed.
This resolution will go automatically to the Resolutions Committee.
Thank you.
And in the few minutes that we have for this report, I would summarize for you some of the highlights of the report that we would ask then to be printed as information in the minutes, as is the custom. Let me say that we can rejoice in the fact that in the year 1960, there was the greatest upsurge of distribution of the scriptures in mission work around the world that we have ever known. More than 23 million volumes of God's Word distributed in 1960 through your American Bible Society. That is an increase of more than 5 million volumes over the preceding year, and more than 8 million volumes over the average for the last 10 years. The Word of God is at work in the world. You, as Southern Baptists, have had a part in providing it. And for this, we are grateful. The support for the Bible Society from Southern Baptists in 1960 was a little over $151,000 coming from churches. 1 year, in 1958, Southern Baptists gave more than any other denomination. And then the Methodists, who had been in the lead, caught up again. And they're still up ahead. But will you mark this, not in any sense of a rivalry that is a surface thing, but in the sense of an indication of the deep spiritual concern of the people of our Southern Baptist churches. The gifts are coming up, so that Methodists were only a little more than $300 ahead in their gifts this past year. And by the next year, we'll trust that Southern Baptists will not have to take second place to any in their gifts to the Bible Society for the missionary distribution of God's Word. Then you would want me to point out to you some of the places in which the Word of God has been most in demand, and not strange to say, but very logically, in the places of greatest tension over the world, the distribution has been increased because of the hunger of men's minds. Cuba, Korea, the Congo. The Congo there with its turmoil that we read of in the newspapers every day, and there's an increase in the distribution of God's Word. In Korea, they marked for the first time in that small country the distribution of more than 1 million copies of the Word of God. And in Cuba, when we found that the connections between the two countries were likely to be displaced, we stockpiled enough there to last for several months, we thought. And now the demand is such that it's down to several weeks. You've had a part in the work. Thank you for continuing it, and we'll ask that the details of it be reported as information in the minutes.
Unless there is objection, it will be recorded in the minutes, as is our custom from year to year. Is there any objection to the recording of this report in our minutes? Hearing none, it will be recorded. I recognize Secretary Burton.
We need on the platform immediately for convention business Glenn Crotts of Arizona. Glenn Crotts of Arizona. If you know him, send him up here, please.
Thank you. We come now to the consideration of the Radio and Television Commission. I recognize Dr. Paul Stevens, Executive Secretary.
Brother Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, messengers to this convention, I would like to make a motion that the program, or the report rather, of the Radio and Television Commission, as found on pages 145, 46, and 47 of the Book of Reports, be approved by this convention.
You hear the motion? Is there a second? You want to discuss it, brother?
Please. Tonight, we are very happy to announce that our Baptist Hour speaker, Dr. Herschel Hobbs, has joined with us in sending the gospel by way of radio and television all over our nation and the world. I wonder how many of you have heard him on the Baptist Hour. Would you lift your hand high? Thank you. Dr. Hobbs, that is only a tiny portion of the great audience to whom you have been preaching for these many months. We thank God for him. I'm going to have him come here and speak to you for a moment, but let me precede him with these remarks. We're very happy to tell you that during the year 1962, Southern Baptist will have 10 network television programs all over America and 10 network radio programs. These are contributed to our denomination for our use in any way we see fit for the preaching of the gospel to America. This is a great triumph for us. I hope you will take the opportunity to thank your stations from time to time for making this time available to us free. It represents approximately $500,000 gift. Dr. Hobbs, will you come please now?
Thank you, Dr. Stevens. I think it is most fitting tonight that the Radio and Television Commission report should come just before the Foreign Mission Night, for together they join hands in preaching the gospel throughout the world. Many times we have heard Dr. Coffin say that if we have anything to say, we should say it, for at any moment doors may be closed to us in a given area. We thank the Lord that radio and television know no boundaries of nations, but that the gospel through those media can go out to lost men everywhere. And I'm happy, as you are, to know that in recent days a relationship has been formed whereby the two shall work together that the gospel may go out more effectively and in more places. Let us pray for the Radio and Television Commission. Let us pray for the Foreign Mission Board and its missionaries, that we may meet the challenge that God has given to us in this hour. Someone has said that when the world is at its worst, the Christian must be at his best. May God grant that we shall be at our best, that we might bring the world to know Christ, whom to know aright is life eternal.
Thank you, Dr. Hobbs. Our business is communications. One of those fields of endeavor is film. We have therefore filmed our program this year. It would not have been possible without the assistance and help, financially and otherwise, of Mr. Sam Hirsch, the producer of Family Films and the producer of our television series, The Answer. The sign above my head speaks of my church reaching out. At one time, that referred to my church reaching to villages and towns and cities nearby. But that day is gone forever. Now, we speak of my church reaching out over the world. For, through the wisdom of God and the genius of science, we have found an open door in space.
In a few minutes, if all goes well, another satellite will take its place in the sky above us. A man-made satellite with a special job to do out in the new frontier of space. What does the launching of this space vehicle have to do with us, with Southern Baptists? This is Paul Stevens speaking, and the answer to this question will constitute the report of the Radio and Television Commission this year. Say, whatever goes up must come down. For some of these man-made satellites will orbit in outer space for all eternity. Among the more ingenious ones are the communication satellites. These and other fantastic advances in the communication field have provided us an open door in space for our Southern Baptist radio and television ministry. But at the same time, they have brought us face to face with an enormous and inescapable question. Are we doing all that we can do by radio and television to spread the gospel? The answer is an emphatic no. There are many places in our world today where our missionaries cannot go, yet can easily be reached by radio. Russia is closed to us, but we preach the Baptist message there every week on radio and in the Russian language. Red China has expelled all of our missionaries, but vast areas of China are exposed to radio from the Western world. Africa is in ferment and turmoil. Doors are slamming shut on our missionary outreach there almost daily. Yet radio opportunities lie unused. And with the astounding advance which satellites bring to communications, there will be no place on earth beyond reach of radio. So that while some doors shut, others open wider and wider and wider. Now let's face up to some sobering facts. They may not be pleasant. We may wish to ignore them, but they remain with us just the same. As of right now, numerically speaking, Southern Baptist, and in fact all of Christendom, is rapidly losing ground in our world. The world population is increasing each year at the rate of 50 million persons. Of this number, only 12 million are won to the Christian faith. Only 12 million, less than 1/4. This means, then, that we're losing ground to pagan forces and heathenism at the rate of 38 million persons per year. And the 12 million which we win represent the combined efforts of all Christian groups, Catholic, Coptic, Eastern Orthodox, Protestant, Baptist, and so on. Now, you and I know that the remaining 38 million people are the target of a powerful propaganda bombardment from non-Christian forces. Communism grows by leaps and bounds, and even pagan religions are experiencing a degree of growth they've not seen in more than 1,000 years. Radio Moscow speaks to more than 1 billion people every night, while Baptists reach only 50 million once a week with the message of Christ. Now, what I'm saying is this. The world's population is to a large degree reachable by radio and television. These billions of people are being reached by non-Christian forces. They are not being reached by us. Why? Because you and I have not provided funds necessary to do so. And somewhere, sometime, someone must ask the question, how long can we profess to want to win men to Christ and still do so little about it? But enough of this. Now, what are we presently doing in radio and television? It isn't enough, but it's considerable. We have a broadening spectrum in our radio ministry, which is designed to reach and appeal to the largest possible segment of our potential audience. There's the Baptist Hour, which is on 450 stations and reaches approximately 22 million listeners every week. And incidentally, it's now celebrating its 20th anniversary. In addition, the Baptist Hour has five foreign counterparts in Spanish, Italian, Russian, French, and Chinese. Then there's Master Control, the popular variety program with a direct gospel appeal, now appearing on 180 choice stations with an audience of 7 million. Then the International Sunday School Lesson, which features Dr. Clifton J. Allen. It's now on 75 stations every week. And last, our devotional program, The Chapel Upstairs, which appears on a varying number of stations from week to week. Now, by adding the 200 stations of the Armed Forces Radio Network, which carry two of our programs, we arrive at a total of 1,156 stations broadcasting every week to an audience which impartial rating services have documented to be in excess of 50 million listeners. That's quite a congregation. Now, television. Television tries to be all things to all people. It is educator and entertainer, exciter and tranquilizer, journalist and super salesman. But we have only one aim and one purpose when we use television. That purpose is best seen in our one TV program, The Answer. In The Answer programs, we follow a dramatic format which presents problems from everyday life and the solutions which can be found in God's Word. The male response to our radio and television ministry is a matter of constant concern and satisfaction to us. The number of letters which we receive and mail makes your Radio and Television Commission the second largest mailer in the city of Fort Worth. The receiving and the personal answering of this mail is in itself quite a ministry. Now, to those of us who work at the commission, this mail represents the same thing that people who walk the aisles of Baptist churches in response to the invitation represent to our pastors. It is the fruit of our labors, yours and ours. And these letters are a source of constant inspiration to us.
Your TV program has brought me back to the road that leads only in God's way.
The sermon on the Baptist Hour made me decide to trust Christ as my Savior.
Your program has changed my outlook on life and my attitude toward others. Please send me a copy of Reaching Up.
Please to send me the pamphlet mentioned on your program. I have accepted the new life, and I'm sure that reading it will help me.
I rejoice every Sunday as I listen to the Baptist Hour on the radio. I'm a leper.
Every passing week, these programs are instrumental in bringing lost people into the Christian fold, many of whom eventually join us in the World Fellowship of Baptists. Speaking to the Baptists of the world in Rio de Janeiro recently, Dr. Baker James Cawthon of our own Foreign Mission Board sounded this note of urgent concern.
The martyrs of the ages look down upon the 20th century and say to us, be true to Christ no matter what it costs. We are called in the 20th century as Baptists in every land to a new thrust forward in Christian witness. There remain yet 4 decades in the 20th century. What will these 4 decades be? They will be either 4 decades of tragedy and disaster, or 4 decades of the mightiest Christian witness on a world scale that ever has been known. Every Baptist body, large or small, regardless of its area in the world, is summoned to lay hold upon the gospel and proclaim it and share it with new vigor and new fervor in this our day.
Dr. Coffin, we at the Radio and Television Commission feel deeply the burden and responsibility of your challenge. And we're ready to join with you and all our Baptist life in attempting the mightiest Christian witness during the next four decades that the world has ever known. We can do no less if we're to measure up to the opportunities of the space age in which we live. Now this brings us again to the question, just what does the firing of satellites into space have to do with Baptist? Well, it has much to do with us, for here within reach lies the possibility of the dream of the prophets come true. Here, just a satellite away, is a vehicle which can be used to proclaim to all nations and all peoples the glorious gospel of Christ. The communication satellite can make it possible for us to match the population explosion with a gospel explosion. We can, if we will, use these messengers of outer space to fill the inner emptiness in lost men's hearts. The millions of stars in our sky that speak silently to us of God's creative power are being joined today by man-made satellites. These satellites, like the stars, are silent until we give them voices. Listen.
This is the President of the United States speaking. Through the marvels of scientific advance, my voice is coming to you from a satellite circling in outer space. Through this unique means, I convey to you and to all mankind America's wish for peace on Earth and goodwill toward men everywhere.
Now, when these satellites speak for us in the days and years to come, what will they say? The answer came during our 1960 convention when the North Carolina brethren challenged us to an all-out effort to preach the gospel to every creature on earth in this generation. What a bold and daring thought. We at the Radio and Television Commission are ready to do our utmost to achieve this goal. And we can do much, for by radio and television, we can reach the eyes and ears of so many millions in so short a time. As we stand now on the threshold of the space age, I believe that God is saying to Southern Baptist, as he said to a small band of believers in early New Testament times, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Now we must enter this open door and see to it that every facility we can command, including these satellites in space, shall be used to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Seconded that the report of the Radio and Television Commission be adopted. Is there any discussion? You are ready to vote. If you favor, let it be known by saying aye. Opposed by saying no. The report is adopted. Our director will now present our special music. Beg your pardon, Secretary Burton has another problem.
The Committee on Time, Place, and Preacher, which was named at noon, in order to perform its functions, must meet immediately. Let me call your names and ask that you meet immediately in room C. Lynn Krotz, Arizona. J.B. Flowers, Virginia. Ben Stripling, Illinois, Frank Hooper, Georgia, William Caldwell, Missouri, Klein L. Weiss, Maryland, Carl Houston, Florida, John A. Holt, District of Columbia, Herman Wooten, Washington, Bob Feather, Texas, Paul Cates, Tennessee. Meet immediately in room C, which is to my right in the corridor.
As I ride to Sunday school on Sunday mornings, I often listen to the voices of Norman Traigle and J.D. Gray from the First Baptist Church. It has been my desire to present to you as many new voices as possible. They may not be new to lots of people, but they are to us. And nearly all of these, their voices have been recorded, and you can get their records in the Baptist bookstore downstairs. One of the voices that I wanted you to hear is Norman Traigle, who has recorded no other song. I asked him to sing it. He wanted to sing Amazing Grace. He is a singer of the New York Civic Opera. And his selection was Amazing Grace, a wonderful selection. And I asked him to make a medley out of it, accompanied by Clifford Tucker, of no other song and Amazing Grace. Norman Traigle.
Thank you.
that wonderful message. In the family of Baptist organizations, Woman's Missionary Union holds a preeminent place. Woman's Missionary Union has a worthy program, and the women of our churches are working diligently at that program. It's our joy tonight to welcome the president of Woman's Missionary Union, Mrs. Mathis of Texas, and the secretary of the union. I recognize now the president, Mrs. Mathis.
Mr. Chairman, the report of Woman's Missionary Union is printed in the Book of Reports. I move that it be adopted without reading and that the time be given for discussion.
Do I hear a second to that motion? Motion been made and seconded that the report be adopted. Would you like to discuss it?
I'm happy to present the Executive Secretary of Woman's Missionary Union, Ms. Alma Hunt of Birmingham, Alabama. Ms. Hunt.
Mr. Chairman, in this year when we are thinking of my church reaching out, Woman's Missionary Union stands ready to give all the support it can to helping the women and the young people in our organizations, to help the churches to reach out. The year 1960 will go down in history as a year in which new heights of achievement were reached. Yet the year brought its disappointments as we, as Southern Baptists, did not reach the level of financial support of our World Missions Program that we had anticipated. Our failure to reach our cooperative program goals on the convention level brought deep concern to many. It caused convention leaders to counsel with each other. It caused editors and others to write about and look for reasons for our failure to get the funds needed to carry on the work committed to the convention. The secretaries of the state conventions, who are charged with the promotion of the cooperative program in their respective states, were concerned. Some 7 or 8 months ago, a group of these state secretaries addressed an unofficial letter to the WMU headquarters. It revealed that these secretaries wondered if Woman's Missionary Union would be willing to give the same sort of positive promotion to the cooperative program that it has been giving to the Light of Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Armstrong offering. As a result of this letter, the president and the executive secretary of Woman's Missionary Union met with the president of the state secretary's group to pledge the union's loyalty to the cooperative program and to remind him that Woman's Missionary Union had, since the beginning of the cooperative program in 1925, promoted it as the channel for regular giving. We pointed out that giving through the cooperative program was one of the points on the old standards of excellence for WMU organizations and is a major objective in today's aims for advancement for Women's Missionary Society, Young Woman's Auxiliary, Girls Auxiliary, and Sunbeam Band. We further pointed out that no WMU organization can gain recognition without participation on the part of its members in the cooperative program. This conference with the president of the state secretary's group led to conferences with Dr. Porter Ruth, with Dr. Merle Moore, and Dr. W.E. Grind's staff of the Stewardship Commission, and on December 14 to a meeting with the state executive secretaries and Dr. Ruth. These conferences caused us to look at what Woman's Missionary Union had accomplished through its program of study and prayer for missions. We share with you the record. Throughout its history, Woman's Missionary Union has promoted gifts to state, home, and foreign missions, regular week-by-week gifts, and once a year, a special over and above offering for each as a part of the respective week of prayer. The state Woman's Missionary Unions have prepared program materials, set goals, and given promotion to their respective state mission seasons of prayer and offering. Woman's Missionary Union can claim no credit for these state seasons of prayer, except as it has encouraged the state unions to give this hearty support to the mission work in the state. But the weeks of prayer for foreign missions and home missions with their accompanying offerings, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Armstrong offering, are the result of planning by Women's Missionary Union on the convention level. We would remind you that WMU on the convention level is no more than the combined state unions. The planning is done by the executive board, made up primarily of 26 state presidents, elected by the various state unions, plus the state elected executive secretaries and department directors. These state chosen people comprise the committees which plan for the 2 weeks of prayer and the ingathering of their accompanying offerings. The growth in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Armstrong offering was not realized overnight. It has taken years for these offerings to reach the size they were last year. Their growth has not been accomplished by women alone. What has been realized as pastors have led their churches into these prayer experiences and to their participation in the offerings, as Sunday schools and training unions and brotherhoods have given support. The growth of the offerings cannot be explained apart from information and inspiration which have resulted from education and promotion. It cannot be explained apart from the prayer participation, which is basic in the promotion of the weeks of prayer. We have come to this day when the offerings have reached new heights, but not their potential. There are mixed emotions among Southern Baptists about them. There are those who believe that these offerings have received God's blessings and they are grateful for them. There are those who fear that the offerings will become too large. There are those who think the offerings should be combined. There are those who think the offerings are detrimental to the cooperative program. There are those who think the personality in these offerings should be transferred to the cooperative program. There are those who think the offerings should be absorbed in the cooperative program. It is unnecessary to do more than mention those who see in the offerings opportunities for individuals to grow in Christian stewardship as they bring over and above gifts, who see churches becoming more missionary through participation in prayer and giving, who see missions at home and abroad reach lives which would remain untouched if these offerings were non-existent. There are people who these are the people who, out of concern for lost people at home and abroad, give something extra to home missions and foreign missions once a year. In speaking to the WMU annual meeting last year, a pastor said that one of his fellow pastors felt that he had to protect his members from special offerings. The speaker commented that he replied to his fellow pastor facetiously, yet with some real truth, that he did not believe his people needed his protection, that they were pretty well able to protect themselves. He concluded, "A good deal of our protection is a denial of the opportunity for some to give expression to their gratitude to God. As Southern Baptists, we cannot fear we are giving too much toward carrying out the Great Commission." Now let us look at those who have fears that the offerings will become too large. Perhaps this group should be divided into those who simply have fears and those who fear that the offerings will become too large. In the group who simply have fears are some who fear the position of Women's Missionary Union if the offerings increase. To those we say, never fear. The money ingathered during the weeks of prayer is never seen by Women's Missionary Union. It goes directly from your churches to your state convention offices, to the SBC Executive Committee office in Nashville, and from that office to the Home Mission Board and the Foreign Mission Board. Decisions as to the allocating of funds are made by the boards, made up of members elected by the Southern Baptist Convention. The funds are disbursed by the respective boards in the same manner that cooperative program funds are disbursed. As to the others in this group who have fears that the offerings will become too large, we say again, never fear. This is no time for us to fear our people will give too much, when Southern Baptists' per capita gift last year was $49.39. Of this $49.39, only $2.98 went to SBC causes. This $2.98 included the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Armstrong offering. The per capita gift through the SBC Cooperative Program was only $1.80. Last year, $2,050,127 was contributed to home missions through the Annie Armstrong offering, and $7,593,776 to foreign missions through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. The combined amount, $9,643,903, represented 42.6% of the total funds received by the two boards from the denomination. There have been those who have argued that the offering should be budgeted and thus subject to the same division as other gifts through the church. Following the presentation of this argument, we did a bit of arithmetic. First, we figured how many cents out of every dollar given by Southern Baptists went to foreign missions and how many to home missions. Including the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, foreign missions got 3.5 cents out of the dollar. Including the Annie Armstrong offering, home missions got less than 1.2 cents, actually 1.18 cents. Next, we figured what part of the Southern Baptist dollar, exclusive of these offerings, went to foreign missions and to home missions. This figuring revealed that less than 2 cents went to foreign missions, actually 1.9 cents, and less than 1 cent to home missions, actually 77.1 cents. The special offerings give those who desire to contribute more than this to home missions and to foreign missions channels through which they can contribute to these causes. Thus, money which might otherwise be siphoned off in contributions to mission work outside the denomination is channeled through the convention and almost doubles the resources of the two boards. Those who advocate combining the offerings into one are overlooking the fact that these offerings are a result of prayer and education. Such combination would reduce to a fraction the prayer undergirding of foreign missions and home missions and the educational values inherent in the weeks of prayer. Those who have thought the special offerings detrimental to the cooperative program should look at the figures. In 1960, the total gifts of Southern Baptists amounted to $480,608,972. An increase of $27,270,252 over 1959. Of this increase, less than $1 million was in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Armstrong offering. Actually, the increase of these two offerings combined was $845,397. Those who say the offerings are the reason for a slow increase in cooperative program receipts should explain the $26,424,855 increase in total gifts apart from these special offerings. Only $378,213 of this supported Southern Baptist causes in the cooperative program. The remaining $26,046,642 was used elsewhere. The total increase in the two offerings was only 3.2% of that amount, only a drop in the bucket to the increased amount used in the churches and in the states. Though the per capita gift from the churches to the cooperative program increased from $4.95 in 1959 to $5.03 in 1960, the per capita gift from the states to the Southern Baptist Convention did not increase. It remained at $1.80. These figures are used not as criticism of the churches or of the state conventions, but for two positive reasons. They are presented first to point out the fallacy of the statement that the offerings are resulting in less money being given through the cooperative program for the support of foreign missions, home missions, and other causes included in the SBC Cooperative Program. These figures are used also to point out that Southern Baptists need a strengthened educational approach to the Cooperative Program, which will result in a lift in per capita gifts. Yes, the cooperative program needs an educational program. It needs to be understood by our people. This can be done, and it should be done, without tearing down that which has been built up in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Armstrong offering. It can be done by positive means, by the application of the principles used in the promotion of the offerings. In January, in our Women's Missionary Union Executive Board meeting, this informal proposal of the state secretaries was presented. And after much prayer and discussion, the members of that board rose to say that if it should be the desire of this convention for Women's Missionary Union to promote a week of prayer for the cooperative program, we stood ready to do so. If, after considering the recommendation which was referred back to the executive committee this morning for another year's study, this convention in its next meeting should vote to have a cooperative program week, Women's Missionary Union would stand ready, along with the Sunday School, the Training Union, and the Brotherhood, to accept its part. And its part could well be a week of prayer for the cooperative program. In so doing, we in Women's Missionary Union would feel that we are seizing another opportunity to fulfill our purpose of aiding the convention in its missionary work.
The report of Women's Missionary Union is before you. It's been moved and seconded to be adopted. Is there any discussion? If you favor, let no one say aye. Opposed, contrary sign, but say no. It is adopted. I recognize now our president, Dr. Powell.
I want to introduce to the Southern Baptist Convention a young preacher. He is 92 years of age. He is pastor of the Marion Street Baptist Church, and he's greatly grieved because a few months ago, the state of Florida took away his driver's license. 92 years of age and still preaching the gospel.
Just 1 minute to give him a recipe for being so active at my age. It's a good case of the old-time religion. Puts a spring in your step, strength to your backbone, determination to your will, and inspiration in your soul. Goodbye.
Thank you. I wish that Mrs. Bort, who is the wife of our first vice president, and Mrs. Slaughter, the wife of our second vice president, would come to the platform. I want to introduce them to you in just a little while.
Secretary Burton has an announcement to make.
Acting Chairman Hooper of the Committee on Time, Place, and Preacher is calling a meeting of that committee at 9:15 a.m. in Room C. And I believe it's necessary to repeat the names of this committee because it's so urgent that they meet. Glenn Crocks, Arizona. J.B. Flowers, Virginia. Ben Stripling, Illinois. Frank Hooper, Georgia. William Caldwell, Missouri. Klein L. Weiss, Maryland. Carl Houston, Florida. John A. Holt, District of Columbia. Herman Wooten, Washington. Bob Feather, Texas. Paul Cates, Tennessee. This committee will meet at 9:15 a.m. Thursday morning in Room C.